Today we have a question that we want to get answered. This is what we're working on today. Does God truly care about me? Does God care about his kids? Is God concerned about what I'm going through? That's what we're talking about. We're going to be little investigators. Who likes those investigative shows? Like those, like on A&E and all that, where they try and solve the mystery. And a lot of people like those. Who likes the Ben Matlock type of stuff? Okay, struck a nerve there. Okay, well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be some investigators this morning. We're going to do some investigation. And we've heard it since our youth. God loves me. God cares about me. We were told that by our grandmas, our mamas, our Sunday school teachers. And maybe if you weren't brought up in the church, whoever led you to the Lord, I'm pretty positive, pretty sure they said, hey, God loves you with an undying love, something like that. So we know this. We have that head knowledge. And most of us, if we're saved, certainly we have it in our hearts. The point I'm trying to get at this morning is sometimes, a lot of the times, we can begin to look at our situations, our circumstances, look at our neighbors, and we can ask ourselves the questions. Maybe we won't vocalize it. Maybe we will say it to those closest around us, those that aren't going to spread rumors about us, those that we trust the most intimately. We might say, it doesn't feel like God really cares about what I'm going through. Now, honesty in church, who's for honesty in church? Okay. Now, think about that this morning. Have you ever thought that way? God, do you really care? Do you understand? Do you see what I'm going through? Can I get a witness? You ever felt like that before? Okay. We've all been there. Okay. So we're going to, since it's Christmas time, and you can go almost anywhere in the Bible to do our investigative work to find this, okay, that God does. I'm going to go ahead and just say the end now. God does totally care about what you're going through. God is so committed to you. He loves you very much. Matter of fact, if in doubt, when in doubt, remember this verse, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. Okay, he loves you so much. He sent his precious, precious son to die a horrible, humiliating death, okay, so that we could be saved, okay? So tell me real fast, does God care about you? He loves us very, very much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? So think about that. And I know that Satan wants to steal our joy. Amen? We can look at our neighbors and be like, oh, man, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I serve you. I pay my tithe. I try to do the right thing. And my neighbors who don't even go to church, not that we want to judge anybody, but have you ever done that? And they just seem to have everything plus a boat, plus a camper, and I have to decide whether or not I'm going to pay a bill or put food on the table. And this time of year, maybe you're like, pay a bill, put food on the table, or buy a gift. You know what I mean? It's easy to get in the mully grubs when we look outside. Amen. But the Lord is very clear about that as well. Okay, he told his disciples, hey, man, focus on yourself. Don't worry about what's going on with the other guy. Amen? I've called you to something. Amen? So it's easy to look at the other guy. It's easy to look at the cars in the church parking lot or the people sitting next to you and be like, man, they just seem to have it so much better than me. Like, Paul, you're talking about financial stuff. I don't have that problem. Okay? Well, you know, what about health? You know? Hey, man, I'm this age and my body is racked with this kind of pain. This doesn't seem fair. God, are you concerned about me? Are you honestly, sincerely concerned about what I'm going through? Have you ever been there where you can cry out, God, do you see what's going on? And let me tell you this, God can handle the big questions. You know what I mean? He can handle those big questions, but we want to give it to him like today, and we want to receive the peace and the joy and the comfort that he has for us. Amen? Are y'all with me? We can look at all those types of things, you know. Hey, man, their marriage seems to be awesome and great, and look at what I got. Look what I'm chained to. No one raise your hand to that. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're blessed. In that ballpark, you're blessed immensely. You're blessed in every area, but we got some awesome, rocking, godly women in this house. So just go ahead and say you're blessed. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hey, man, I ain't got a wife. I don't have a wife. My wife ain't been around. I was a good husband. Or I don't have a husband. I got to go through this all alone. God, you ain't fair. You're playing favorites. No, he's not playing favorites. He loves us all, and he's concerned about us all. God, why'd you take my loved one out of my life so soon? It's not fair. God is a good God, and he's very much concerned. Amen? So maybe I'm touching on some nerves this morning. Maybe I'm not. Maybe this is old hat. We already know it. But let's just make sure we're on the right track this morning, because we want to worship the Lord and we want to be used by the Lord. And if we get in the wrong attitude, the bad attitude type of situation, that's going to hinder your spiritual growth. That's going to hinder your obedience. Amen. Can I get a witness up in this? Okay. So it's Christmas time. How's everyone doing, y'all? Y'all ready for Christmas? You ready for Santa? All right. Good. Good, good, good. Okay, turn to Luke 2 and verse 8. Since it's Christmas time, we're talking about the shepherds. So let's talk about the shepherds. Let's see, blue collar spent the majority of their time all alone. No real social standing, no real authority, no chance for advancement. They were largely unnoticed. They spent all their time alone. What they hung out with the most would be lambs. You know what I mean? That was their thing. Okay. So it would be easy if I was a shepherd back in the Bible days. It would be easy to get in the mully grubs. Hey, man, you know, I'm left out here. Everything, I can see Bethlehem in the distance. That place is booming right now because of the census. Over the hill, there's Jerusalem. Look at those beautiful lights. Look at the temple, the palace. There's so much going on. I'm stuck out here doing this. God, do you really care about me? Because I'm stuck in this place. I'm stuck in this position. No chance for advancement. My dad was a shepherd. His grandpa was a shepherd. My grandpa was a shepherd, and I'm going to be a shepherd. My boy's going to be a shepherd. That's just how it is. You know, so it's easy to get in that situation. Amen. But let's look at this, okay, and let's prove it right now through the Word of God. Anytime anybody ever says anything to you, or any preacher, okay, it needs to be backed up by the Word of God. Amen. And you guys, all of us, we need to know the Word of God. So when somebody's talking to you, you can be like, hey, yeah, that's biblical. Or, I don't know. That's not really making a lot of sense. Let me go dig in and do my own research. We need, as disciples of the Most High God, we need to spend time in His Word. Amen. And every question you have, the answers are hidden away in this book. And when I say hidden, I don't mean like God's code book, okay, where you have to be super smart and have all kinds of degrees to find out what's going on. I'm just saying you got to open the thing up and taste and see that the Lord is good, and He'll begin to minister to you, and He can change the atmosphere in your heart, which is going to change the atmosphere in your home. Amen? So, man, we cannot deny this, okay? A lot of us... you know, we're physically fit, we work out, we run and stuff like that. I know some of you guys do that. You're all about your body. But see, we can be starving our spirit, man. Okay, and that's not going to lead to anywhere good. Amen. So I'm telling you this morning, man, and this is for no extra charge. Get in this good book. Let's tear it up. Amen. And let's do that more and more as that day draws near. Okay, amen. So in the same region, Bethlehem, outskirts of Bethlehem, around Bethlehem, in the same reason, God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, bless this message. Bless your servant. Thank you for your anointing, Lord God. Thank you that none of us are going to leave here the same way we came in. Lord Jesus, that we will leave here refreshed and energized and excited, Lord God. Thank you for a wonderful time in the Lord, and we're going to be about your business, not just this next week, not just the weeks to come, but for the rest of our life, Lord God. We will be on fire for you, and we will do what you've called us to do. Thank you for your strength and your encouragement and your boldness. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shown around them. I love the nativity story. I love those chapters in Matthew and in Luke and the Old Testament prophecies about the birth of the Messiah. It's an exciting time. It's an amazing Bible study. You can spend weeks and weeks just doing individual studies on the Old Testament prophecies and how they line up perfectly in the New Testament. But I have to say that this is one of my favorite Christmas verses of all time, because it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them." Why do you like that so much? Because these are just average, ordinary people like you or me, okay? I mean, let's just get our facts straight. You don't come here to be popular. You don't come to this church because this is the church you go to if you're going to run for public office, okay? This isn't the place you go to get noticed. Okay, but the Lord sees you here. He sees you here when you come here and pouring down rain. He sees you when you call me up and say, "Paul, I need you to meet with me." Okay, I need you to meet with me. The Lord sees what we're going through, and he knows that we're just average folks. But you know what? He's no respecter of persons. You know what I'm saying this morning? He loves us all. It doesn't matter how cool or educated or hip you were or was or ain't or never been. He loves us with an undying love. He's committed to us, and he cares about what you're going through. So when you look at your situation, it is easy to get distracted and discouraged when you look and say, "God, how come you're playing favorites?" Okay, he's not playing favorites. Okay, we don't always understand the things that he allows to happen in our lives, but you got to understand this. He loves you, and he has allowed something in your life for your growth and for his glory, no matter what it is. Amen? So listen, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. One time, I was leaving church. It was on a Sunday night, back when we were still having Sunday night services, and one day we'll be back in. I know you guys will all be here for that. You know, you'll come back for Sunday nights because you love coming to the worship the Most High God. But anyways, we're still doing the Sunday night service thing, and I stopped at a friend's house to check on him who lived off of Alabama Street in downtown Milton. So I had a little front yard. I open up my car door. It's at nighttime, obviously, and I step out, and I'm in his front yard, and all of a sudden, the whole area is just engulfed in light, like just this amazing thing, man. I didn't know what was going on, but just like that, everything was like, and I could see everything. I could see through the grass and see the pebbles, the dirt. Everything was like super weird. I was like, "What in the world's going on, man?" Everything was lit up. And then I heard the, it was a helicopter. It was a helicopter. Okay, long story short, Escambia County let Santa Rosa County borrow a police helicopter. However that works out, because there was some sort of mischief in downtown Milton area. Okay, and as I step out of my car, I don't know if they're playing a game or trying to catch the bad guy. I don't know, but I'm halfway through the guy's yard, and then all of a sudden, the light's on me. I'm like, "Whoa, what is this? Wow." My buddy comes out and is like, "What did you do?" I'm like, "I didn't do nothing, man. I don't know what this is." But anyways, I found out the cops were looking for somebody, and it wasn't me, you know, obviously. And thank the good Lord for statutes of limitations running out, but that's another sermon. But any old hoot and holler, I've always thought about that when I read this verse. And then the other night, well, I'll get to that later. But that's what I always thought about. You know, that right there. But see, that was cool and that was awesome. And I was thinking about that for days because everything was just illuminated, just like daytime. But imagine if you're a shepherd, does the same thing every night. You're working the graveyard shift, no chance for advancement, no one to hang out with. You're talking to your sheepies, your lambies. And then all of a sudden, the sky just explodes with God's glory. Just poof. What an amazing thing to do for these nobodies. Can I get a witness? Okay. All through the nativity story. Doesn't do it for Joe. Doesn't do it for Mary. They angels minister to them. Angels give them the breakdown, give them the download, give them the 411. But not like this. Just illuminating the sky. These angels have never seen anything. I mean, the shepherds have never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. I mean, this is pre-electricity, pre-flashlight. You know what I mean? Just everything just goes crazy. And then this angel begins to communicate with them. Okay? Is God not awesome? And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Okay, take the burning bush. Take Isaiah in the throne room in Isaiah 6. Take the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel. All pictures of God's glory, God's presence. Amen? And this is just like that in the New Testament, just this amazing thing. Okay, now, this is curious. And they were filled with fear. Like I said, they'd never seen anything like this before, and it only makes sense that they would be terrified, right? Wow, what in the world's going on? Because when the police helicopter turned its lights on me, and I was just minding my own business, and I've seen plenty of electricity, I've even seen some laser light shows and fireworks and all that jazz, I was pretty freaked out there for a second. I was like, whoa, what's that about? What's going on? These shepherds were blown away. But it's not just what they seen, but God's presence, man. When you're in God's presence, man, it does something amazing to you. Amen. Read Isaiah and see how when he was in the Lord's presence, he said, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I hang out with people. I'm from a people with unclean lips. I'm talking about they were filled with fear because they were in the presence of something amazing. They were in the presence of the Most High God. Amen. This angel, man, boom, left the throne room. Here it is. Guys, I want to tell you something. Bam! And all God's people said, bam! There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not. Now, we've been doing this Christmas thing here. This is the fourth week, I think. And I think for each week, we've seen an angel communicate with a human. We see a human filled with fear. And then we see an angel say, fear not. So I think it's important because when we see repetition in the Word of God, I think that we all understand by now that that's God trying to make a point to us. Okay? First of all, it's very scary to have an angel appear in front of you, I would imagine. That hasn't happened to me before. I'm married to an angel, but that's a different kind of angel. Anyways, bring it back together, folks. We're here to talk about Jesus, not my bliss here on earth. Oh, God is so good. Anyways, I'm going to get lost. Let's bring it back. Okay. Angels. Okay. And the angel said to them, fear not. Okay. Fear not. God does not want us to have a spirit of fear. We talked about that already. Okay. God wants to use us all. Some crazy things happen to us. And God just wants us to know, hey, fear not. What's the number one way we're going to get peace as far as Christians is knowing that God is with us. Amen. God is with us. That's the number one peace giver right there. Knowing that God will never leave me or forsake me. That yes, God will ask me to do some things that are not comfortable, that are not necessarily to my liking, not something that I think I'm good at doing sometimes, right? But God says, fear not. I'm with you. Okay? Why is God so concerned with us having peace? Because he definitely wants us to have peace. It's so important that his children have peace, but it's not simply just because you can sit at home watching cable TV saying, man, I sure am peaceful. All God's people want. Yeah, amen. Because he wants to use us. He wants to use us, and he needs us to be able to stand on the Word of God. No matter what's going on, God has peace for me. I don't necessarily feel goosebumps right now, but he promises in his Word that he is with me. Amen? And he wants me to have peace because he wants to use me. Amen? We got to be about our Father's business. Can I get a witness? And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, you will see that all through Luke's gospel, that is Luke's way of saying, listen up, underline this is important. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. This is so good. All God's people said, this is so good. For behold, I bring you good news about the Savior. The Savior is for all mankind. The Savior was born in a manger in Bethlehem. had an awesome ministry, died on a cross, rose from the dead, and took away our sins, paid for our sins. Hopefully we receive that gift. Amen. That gift is for the taking, for anybody. Amen. It's for everybody, for all mankind. You see what I'm saying? Let me read it again. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Salvation is for all people. That's reason to give him glory right now. But listen, these no-name shepherds who people would see wouldn't give them the time of day. Not that they necessarily hated the people. They were just there in the background. They were just the dudes doing the thing that they did in the background with the sheep. But God stopped what he was doing. You see what I'm saying? And said, "I got a great, awesome message for you. Did you like the thing with the lights? Did you see that? That was for you. No one's ever done anything like that for me before. Yeah, well, I'm God and I love you, and I just want you to know that I care about you and I love you and you're important to me." Amen? Amen. Plus, we know God's got a soft place for shepherds, don't he? Amen. Jesus is our great shepherd. Anyways, I might be getting ahead of ourselves, myself. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you." See the intimacy there? See the personalness there, if that's a word, personalness? The news is for everybody, but I chose you, shepherds, to give this message to. I just want to tell you I love you. I haven't forgot about you. I'm reaching out to you. Let me give you some amazing news right now that's going to change the world, and I'm telling you, man, God is good, right? See, God's no respecter of persons. We know this. But sometimes we can get off track, start looking at the Joneses, be like, "Man, that's not fair. Give me a break, man. I go to church twice as much as the Joneses do." And the Joneses' kids is all types of unruly. Make sure. We don't have any Joneses in here, do we? You got to watch that. Galatians 3. 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free." See, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is or how educated you are, how much money you have in your checkbook or your wallet. Because I belong to the Most High God, guess what? It doesn't matter who you are. He loves us all. He's concerned about us all. Amen? So the next time Satan tries to steal your joy, like, "No, I'm special to the Most High God. I'm special to him. If I wasn't special to him, he wouldn't allow me to be born. I know I'm special to him. He created me. He didn't have to create me, but he created me. And then he sent his son to die on a cross for me. And then he sought me out and saved my soul." We are special to him. Amen. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." God is good, right? Amen. Not only did he choose these shepherds, because he blessed them and blew their minds with this amazing laser light show, whatever you want to call it. But then he tells them about the good news. Okay? He tells them about the good news. I got need of you. I got use of you. There's something going on in Bethlehem. Go check it out. Amen? Just like God stops what he's doing. You know what I mean when I say that. But he individually reached down to those guys. And he does that to each and every one of us. "Hey, Donnie, I know the holidays can be kind of tough, but I want you to know I love you, man. I want you to know I love you, and I'm proud of you." Isn't God good? Luke 2 and 11. "For unto you is born," this is the message. God's got their attention. The angels got their attention. They were freaked out at first, understandably. Angel says, "Fear not." Okay, if you say fear not, I'm not fearing. Right? For unto you is born, see that? There it is again, man. The whole kit and caboodle's for everybody, and you fit in that whole kit and caboodle, but I'm talking to you right now, little lonely shepherds, yo smelly things. I'm talking to you. I want to bless you. I want you to know that I have not forgotten about you, that you are special. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Give him some praise this morning. Amen. I mean, think about it. A Savior is born. That's Christmas. That's Christmas right there. Amen. But we can have Christmas 365 days a year. It's true, though, man. Everybody says that, but it's true. Hey, man, Jesus Christ, the second man of the Trinity, God, you see what I'm saying? God clothed himself in human flesh. Why did he clothe himself in human flesh, man? Okay, because he was immortal. He put on mortality. He came down here, was born of a virgin, laid in a manger so he could die. There it is. That's true, man. Think about that. God loves you so much that he came down here, taught us how to live, but he knew what he was here for. He knew that he was going to die on that cross. He wasn't just caught up in something. He wasn't something that snowballed and all of a sudden he finds himself hanging on a tree and, man, we gave it a good run, Peter. Where are you, Peter? We tried our best. No, he knew exactly what he was here for. Amen. Because he loves us. Because he's concerned about you. Now, it's easy. It's easy because we see with these eyes. It's easy to get confused and distracted and disturbed and depressed. But when we get that way, we need to call it what it is and realize that's sin. That's sin, man. When we are not being what the Lord wants us to be, are we not sinning? Okay? So we get in these situations. We begin to doubt God. Everyone say, that's sin. It is, man. It is. I'm not saying he don't forgive because we know he does. Right? See, doubt is anti-faith. Okay? It's easy to get in this hole. And this hole just gets deeper and deeper. So when you feel that coming on, man, run back to the foot of the cross. Amen. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. And he's pleading with you. Give it to me. Give it to me because I have need of you and I got peace for you. Amen? Amen? Is God good right now? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For you. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Look at that right there. This is what God does for us. Let's take the knowledge you already have, the knowledge we're going over, where grandmama told you God is good and God cares about you and God's concerned about you. Let's take that head knowledge and let's see if through the Holy Spirit's guidance we can put it in our heart this morning. Amen. And then apply it to our lives. Because if I walk around knowing in my heart that God is good and that God is concerned for me and God loves me and is committed to me, and that's going to change a lot of things. Amen? Amen. Are y'all with me? Isaiah 40 in verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. See, there's that umbrella thing. He loves us all. He died on that cross for all of us. But we're talking about his flock, okay? Because the world doesn't get this. Okay, the world doesn't grasp this, but if I belong to him, what am I? I'm part of his flock. You see what I'm saying? And because I'm part of his flock and he is my shepherd, guess what? He is there for me. Can I get a witness? He tends his flock like a shepherd. Okay, he watches over me. He takes care of me. Amen? Y'all with me? Now, this is where it gets really, really good because that's good news, okay? But sometimes I don't want to just hear a generic thing that's going to cover everybody in this church, man, because, Paul, I'm hurting, man. I'm really, really hurting. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm sick. No one gets it, man. I need something personal. I need God to talk to me. Okay, check it out. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. See that? He gathers the lambs in his arms. See how personal that is? Okay. He loves us all. But when Steve's going through something, he says, come here, son. Come here. I love you. And he holds you close. Amen? Now to really get that, okay, because I'm not picking up a lamb and I'm not holding it close because lambs have a lot of, I'm not doing that. There's a lot of reasons why I'm not doing that. If a lamb kicks my glasses, that's bad news. That's like 3 weeks before I can get a new set of glasses, if I can borrow the money. But anyways, that's another story, another sermon. But I do this. I remember when I had my babies, and I had five of them, and each and every one of them, when you just hold them so close, and there's that connection, when you feel their heartbeat through your heartbeat, you know what I'm saying? And you're holding it, and you're just squeezing it. And you smell their hair. And you're like, this baby's so precious. This baby's so precious. This baby is mine. See, the Lord loves all his children. And he takes care of all his children. And he looks at all of us that way. But as individuals on a personal level, he wants you to know, man, I care about what you're going through. Matter of fact, this is what I want to do. I just want to hold you and let you know, man, it's all right. It's all right. I'm going to get you through this, man. Amen? God is good today. All the time, that's right. That's right. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. That's good, man. He gently leads those who have young. Okay, so the ones, the sheepies, with a lot of baby sheepies, have a unique situation as opposed to just the single little sheepies. You know what I mean? Little single sheepy can go get up, do what he wants to when the shepherd calls him. Okay? But the sheepies with a bunch of little sheepies, they need special tender care, right? Can't leave them behind, right? That's what God's saying. Doesn't matter what your situation is, how unique you think it is, okay? I'm with you, man. I love you, okay? I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to leave you behind. You're in the flock, man. You're mine. I'm going to hold you. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Micah 5:2. Shepherds were outside of Bethlehem, okay? Little no-name sleepy town. Ain't nothing happened there since the birth of David. No one really thought David was anything special until he was out of Bethlehem. You know what I mean? But they did have the plaque in Times Square. David once stayed here. No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with all that. But that's why they call it the city of David, man. That's where David was from, the greatest earthly king, right? The warrior king. But, man, you wouldn't think twice about Bethlehem in the shadow of Jerusalem, the big religious hub of Israel. Well, see, you got the palace, you got the fortresses, you got the temple. That's where all the highfalutin city folks would want to be, the educated folks, the religious leaders and all that. Nobody thought about Bethlehem, except God had a plan for little no-name Bethlehem, just like he had a plan for a bunch of little no-name shepherds, just like he had a plan for a bunch of little no-name people in this church. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say you no-name, I'm just trying to make a point. Amen. Little Bethlehem had a big, important job. You know what I mean? This is so awesome, talking about the shepherds, talking about Bethlehem. The lambs that were to be slaughtered for the sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem, you know where they kept them? In Bethlehem. What was Jesus? The lamb slain before the foundation. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, in an animal feeding trough is where he was laid. Amen? God is awesome, man. God is just amazing. Like I said, you take all these Old Testament prophecies, Micah, Amos, Isaiah, all of them. There's a bunch of them, a herd of them, a flock of them. Put them together, and they all prove perfectly that Jesus is not only very unique, but he is the Son of God. Okay? Well, I heard Pastor Paul. Everyone say, Pastor Paul.
Pastor Paul.
I heard... This is a thing. that those, and it's not so much no more because it's been proven invalid. But back in the day, up until really the late 1940s, those that did not want to believe the word of God would say, hey, this, all these Old Testament prophecies and these ones in Isaiah talking about the Messiah that looked like they line up so perfectly, I'm betting that these nasty, no good Christians a long time ago went and manipulated these books of Isaiah. Because who's around to say? You know what I mean? And say, you know, just brush him up a little bit and say, and he'll be born of a virgin, and all this. Right? And so when the New Testament says this is what happens, you're like, oh, well, this is the New Testament actually talks about that. He's the Messiah. Everyone say, he's the Messiah. Yeah. Well, see, that's dumb. Not what you said. I like what you guys said. Okay. But see, there was another no-name shepherd, little shepherd boy, right after World War II, was playing around the Dead Sea in the Qumran Caves, something like that, throwing them in these caves, hits something. Here's it go, break. He goes and investigates, and it's this ancient picture, not a picture like a drawing, but a vase. All God's people said a vase. Something that would hold stuff in it. Broke, and what he found was the books of Isaiah, almost perfectly unharmed for thousands of years, man. Those words of the prophet Isaiah were stuffed in there. They were there the night Jesus was born, waiting for someone to find, a little no-name shepherd to find in the 1940s. So God cares about his kids, right? And God doesn't want you to say, God, I want to stand on your word. I want to believe you, but I don't know if somebody made this stuff up. And I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to live my life living in a hoax and all this. Like, calm down, man. The Dead Sea Scrolls, bro. That was written way before Jesus was ever born. And the prophet Isaiah said this was going to happen. And boom, there it is. God is good. Did that make sense? Or did I just get excited? Because sometimes I get excited and I know it doesn't make sense. Thank you, Brother Stevie. I'm getting a phone call. I'm trying to let it go. Hey, what are you doing? I'm preaching. Can I call you back? Okay, love you. Bye-bye. Okay. Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that's like you, O Milton of Santa Rosa County. Ephrathah, I'm probably not saying that right. That would be like the district, okay? But God's getting really specific here. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. This is a prophecy from Micah talking about little Bethlehem. So when you go back and do your research, like, well, God said the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem way before it ever happened, and boom, then it happens. God's amazing, all right? But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, little no-name town, from you shall come forth for me. Who do you work for? I work for Sitgo. I work at the Tom Thumb. No. You work for the Most High God. You're not your own. You've been bought at a price. God had a special mission for himself to give him glory. You exist to give him glory. Amen. We get joy out of that process, and we get the growth out of it, and we get the provision, but God wants to use us for his own good purpose. From you, Bethlehem, shall come forth for me, God has a big plan, and you're part of it. One who is to be ruler in Israel. Okay, so maybe it's talking about some other king that we don't know about. Whose coming forth is from old, prophesied long ago, from ancient days. Now that's so important right there, because ancient days, ancient of days, that's one of God's names. Look it up. It's in Isaiah. It's in Daniel, saying God is coming out of Bethlehem. Amen. God's got an amazing plan for you. Amen. God is concerned about you. I mean, look what he did for these shepherds, and look what he does at the little no-name Bethlehem. Amen. So as you look around, like, man, I ain't got nothing going on in this job, this dead-end job, working a night shift. Oh, no, God sees what you're going through, and God can use you wherever you're at. Matter of fact, the reason why he's got you right now is so he can use you there. Amen? Amen. So we do it with all our heart. Let's go to the next slide. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God. Now, this is really cool, and we're winding down here. But just think about this. They were already blown away by what they saw, that they were filled with fear by one angel. You know what I mean? Like I said, it wasn't just some angel tapping you on the back and saying, hey, I got some good news. Whoa, dude, don't do that. I'm out here in the dark. Phew, are you an angel? It wasn't like that at all. I mean, they were blown away by this one angel in God's glory. But take that and then put countless, countless angels around that one angel. And this is what God does for these little no-name shepherds in a nowhere town. Just to show you, hey, I care about you. I love you. I got a plan for you. I want to use you. Amen? Amen? So God cares about us, doesn't he? So this amazing thing happens, man. And the angels say this, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, we've tackled this 2 weeks in a row. Right? Okay. And time is short. But who is God pleased with? Who does his favor rest upon? Are you his kid? That doesn't mean, I'm not trying to say that you're in his perfect will at this moment. But what I'm trying to say, that God has peace for his kids. Can I get a witness? What I'm trying to say is if you were to take the roof off of a building and there's 200 people in there and none of them worship the Most High God. None of them love the Most High God except for three people. God looks down and he said, those are mine right there. They're mine. They're my babies. I'm holding them up close to my heart. Amen. So let's tackle that. God has peace for us again. Amen. That's a reoccurring theme. No fear. God has peace for us. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, that was weird. What just happened? Y'all want to get something to eat? They didn't say that. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Which the Lord has made known to us. You see that? Amen. Just us. Amen. Bill, I wouldn't believe it if you came and told me. But God just did that. I mean, thousands upon thousands of angels, the sky just has got to be lit up like crazy now. Imagine Mary and Joseph. You know, maybe Mary's, patting little baby Jesus on the fanny. And off in the distance between Jerusalem and Bethlehem looks like a thunderstorm brewing or something. Who knows, man? But God has sent millions, thousands, countless angels to talk to a handful of nobodies and say, hey, I love you. Isn't that awesome? God is good. Father God, we love you. You are so good. You are worthy of our praise.